They instead brought revenge. Tens of thousands of people in Vietnam and Laos were murdered or killed in other ways by starvation. Hundreds of thousands were put in concentration, re-education camps they were called. And many others were, a whole class of society was ostracized and attempted, the victors attempted to destroy it. Hundreds of thousands of people were locked up for years, and eventually millions fled. They were the boat people, and most of them fled to Vietnam. It seems to me clear that the results of America's defeat in Indochina was catastrophic for the people of Indochina itself. And as John Maynard Keynes once famously said, when the facts change, it's quite a good idea to change your opinion. Now, I don't much like the wording of this motion because I don't actually think that there is an American empire as such. However, it's certainly true that the United States, following the fall of the Soviet Union and the collapse of the Berlin Wall, is obviously the great global power and has enormous influence, unprecedented influence probably in the world. And I can certainly understand why people both fear and resent that. For Viennese, for example, it's extremely annoying that the forces of globalization, which are not part of the American empire as such, but are seen to be contiguous to it, it's atrocious for them that all their 19th century coffee houses should become Starbucks. I see that. There are many things that cause resentment. Not everyone likes American mass culture. Here's the rather marvelous historian Paul Hollander saying, American mass culture enshrines mindless triviality, the cult of violence, a shallow sentimentality, and a pervasive entertainment orientation. Well, some people might think that sounds quite fun, but there are others obviously who won't. There will always obviously be problems and concerns about the way in which America uses its power, particularly today when there is no balance to that power. But I really do believe that despite the shortcomings of individual presidencies and presidents, and don't forget that Clinton was just as much hated by different people perhaps, but just as much hated by many people as Bush is today, despite those individual mistakes or shortcomings, America really is a vital force for good in the world. Just one little point. In the last 4 years, three dictatorships have been overthrown: Milosevic, the Taliban, and now Saddam Hussein. It was America leading the overthrow of all those three, and without America, it wouldn't have happened. Just look at Europe. Twice in the last century, American intervention was essential to save our continent from its own folly and from totalitarianism. Without America, we might now here be debating in German, der großartige Erfolg, the great success of the Third Reich's final solution of the Jewish problem. Or, perhaps, we would all be here at the Party Congress singing Udarim Nashim Trudom O Pro Kapitalismo, which roughly translated means goodbye to capitalism in Russian. But it's not new that America should be found wanting. Here's an article in Life magazine written about the U.S. occupation of Europe by the very great American novelist John Dos Passos in January 1946. In other words, just a few months after the end of the Second World War. He wrote, "Never has American prestige in Europe been lower. All we've brought to Europe so far is confusion backed up by the drumhead of regime of military courts. We've swept away Hitlerism, but a great many Europeans feel that the cure has been worse than the disease. Before the Normandy landings, liberation meant to be freed from the tyranny of the Nazis. Now it stands in the minds of civilians for one thing, looting." And yet, despite that attitude in January 1946, the American-led occupation created the rich, comfortable society that we all enjoy here today. Sometimes when I think of that society that Europeans enjoy, I think there's a kind of madness amongst West Europeans who are, it's not all, of course, but some West European intellectuals in particular, who hate America. Listen to Margaret Drabble in the Daily Telegraph a few weeks after the fall of Saddam. Now, Margaret Drabble is a great novelist. But she writes, "My anti-Americanism has become almost uncontrollable. It has possessed me like a disease. It rises up in my throat like acid reflux, that fashionable American sickness. I now loathe the United States and what it has done to Iraq and to the rest of the helpless world." Done to Iraq? Well, when Miss Drabble was writing those words, America and Britain and the other coalition partners had actually got rid of the torturers, had imposed or got the Iraqi infant administration to impose all the human rights covenants, had opened the ability, enabled Iraqis for the first time to find out what had happened to the 300,000 or so, according to the Human Rights Watch, of their relatives who disappeared. And when Ms. Drabble was writing that, people were looking in mass graves all over the country for their relations. That's what, at that stage, Iraq, America had done for Iraq. But Ms. Drabble is not alone, I know that. When Gore Vidal was asked how the Iraqis could have been liberated, apart from by America, he replied grandly, "Don't you think that's their problem? That's not your problem, and that's not my problem." Tariq Ali talks about the brutal recolonization of Iraq by the United States and its, quotes, bloodshot British adjutant. Well, freedom of speech is a wonderful thing. Earlier this year, Donald Rumsfeld got himself into a lot of trouble because he declared that there were now two Europes, new and old. Now, there's some truth in this. In Warsaw and in Sofia and in Bucharest, while we were jetting off on our holidays in the 70s and 80s and buying the nicest new consumer gadgets, they were still queuing in bread queues, bread lines at 4 o'clock in the morning. For Eastern Europeans, the Second World War ended only in 1989, not in 1945. And it ended because America held the line and we won the Cold War. Which is one of the most important countries in the coalition in Iraq today? It's Poland. And what emblem did the students of Tiananmen hold up in their demonstrations in 1989, which were cruelly crushed? The Statue of Liberty. Where it matters, people know the value of America. Of course, America, like all other countries, has its self-interests. And after 9/11, it's been pursuing those self-interests and defending them more aggressively than before. And so are we. We have to, alas. Eliza Manningham Buller, the head of British intelligence, said recently that it's only a matter of time before there is a dirty bomb attack on a major Western city. Saddam may not have been an imminent threat, but given his behavior, he was an inevitable threat. And he has now been dealt with. What's going on in Iraq now is incredibly difficult, but all the polls there suggest that a vast majority, between 70 and 90% of the Iraqi people, thank God that the British and the Americans and their allies are there. There are huge problems, but I think that they will be sorted, but it will take a long time. Defeat would be a catastrophe for Iraq. I have an Iraqi friend who I hoped was going to be able to be here tonight to speak, but she's now in Baghdad. She's called Maysoon al-Adamlouji, and she's lived for 20 years in exile in London. She's a founding member of the Iraq Independent Democrats and president of the Independent Iraqi Women's Group. She's now back in Iraq for the first time in over 20 years, and so she's not here. But she sent me an email from Baghdad this morning. "Sorry for the delay," she said. "I hope this comes in time for the debate. Here is what I think. One, the Americans rid the Iraqis of the despotic regime of Saddam Hussein. Although Iraq will have to go through a long period of finding and understanding itself, the Americans have given us the hope and the opportunity to do so. What Iraqis need most of all today is to open up at last to the rest of the world. The Americans are helping us to do this through exchange programs on an academic, professional, and civil society levels. They're also developing education, promoting human rights studies, and modern sciences. They're encouraging Iraqis to form civic societies such as women's groups, professional groups, NGOs, and political parties. The Americans also stand as a buffer zone between the extremist groups and try to find the center and encourage it. Most Iraqis know that a civil war would start if the Americans suddenly had to leave. The Americans have given us hope. I hope," she says, "that the above argument makes sense. Good luck." I think that that argument makes a lot of sense for Iraq, and I hope that it makes sense to all of you here tonight, and you will see that it makes sense for the world. Hope is the key word. America is the most optimistic nation that has ever been created, and it's a vital source of optimism for America itself and for the rest of us. I hope you will endorse this notion that for all its faults and all its mistakes, America is good for the world. Thank you.
William, thank you very much. And our first speaker against the motion is the very distinguished reporter Charles Glass, who was ABC News Chief Middle East Correspondent from 1983 to 1993, and he is a special correspondent for the London Review of Books. He's the author of Tribes with Flags.